So we are doing part two of Live by Design. Somebody say with me, Live by Design. Oh, say it. Live by Design. That's just some people who are rather quiet. Say Live by Design. If you are quiet, it's very likely you are already offended by the message. Say it with me, Live by Design. All right, glory to God. So today we're going to be talking about the guarantee for destiny fulfillment. Say it with me, the guarantee for destiny fulfillment. Yeah. And last week we began our series talking about the framework of destiny. What makes up destiny? The kind of factors that we need to engage with, we need to understand. Nobody can run away from it. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that we must understand in this life that God has gifted us with is the hope of success or the hope of greatness. Such that it does not matter where you stand or where you are in the progress of life. At any point in time, when you understand what to do, you can begin a journey of reclaiming whatever it is that you might have lost and whatever it is that God has ordained for you. Hallelujah. It does not matter what age you come into truth. You can be 50. But when you come into truth, it begins a journey. And depending on how you make that journey, you can unearth everything in the shortest possible time. Hallelujah. Are we together here? Yeah. The Bible says, for him that is joined to the living, there is hope. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 4. For him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Hallelujah. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know nothing. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. So, no matter who you are, so long as you are alive, you have every chance to make it in life. Hallelujah. It does not matter whether you've gone to school, you've not gone to school. It does not matter whether you know people, you don't know people. At the time you come into truth and you begin to apply yourself to them, right from that moment, things can begin to work again. That is the beauty of destiny when a person comes into Christ. Hallelujah. So I'm going to share with you what guarantees fulfillment of destiny. This is one of my books that is coming up, and I'm sure you'll be seeing it very soon. Glory to God. You must understand that the extent of a man's destiny is determined by that very person. God does not put a lid on any man's destiny. God does not put a limitation, geographic or financial. God does not put a limitation on any man's destiny. You choose, you determine what you can become. You determine how far you can go in life. You determine how big, how large you can become. You can decide to be local. You can decide to be global. Glory to God. You can decide to be micro. You can decide to be macro. It is all within your own ability and in your own willingness to go as far as you can go. Hallelujah. All the factors that determine your outcome are within your control. By so doing, you can decide, I want to be great and I want to respect and commit myself to whatever makes great. Or you can decide, I want to be normal and go by whatever makes normal. It is your decision. Hallelujah. No demon is stronger than your resolve to be great. Some of us in this part of the world are fond of looking for excuses. Who to blame for what? Which devil, which spirit to blame for? I'm not saying there is no spiritual dimension to issues that we confront in life. But there is one thing very powerful, and that is your will to become great. Your will to become anything that God has designed and ordained for you to become. Hallelujah. God is no respecter of persons. Am I talking to somebody here? In the book of Acts chapter 10 verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth. Acts chapter 10, the verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." There is no American God. There is no Canadian God. Hallelujah. Are we together here? God is no respecter of persons. Whoever and wherever, if you decide to call on God and to walk with him to the very letter, God can make you a king out of nowhere. God can make you great out of nothing. Hallelujah. God is not economic with his resources. He lives in abundance. A never-ending supply of resources to turn anybody into whatever they will ever become. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10 verse 12. Goes on to say the same thing. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is overall, the same Lord overall is rich unto all that call upon him. God does not do protocol. Are we together here? God does not do protocol. I mean, whoever you are. Look at somebody, tell the person you can be great. Oh, tell another person you can be great. If only you will meet up with the demands of God. The architecture of life is already determined. Am I talking to somebody here? It is already determined. If you will be willing to meet up with the demands, you can become whatever you can become. You can choose to become a local hairdresser. You can also choose to become a global hairdresser. Am I talking to somebody here? Yeah. You can choose to become a local engineer. Amen. You can choose to become a local engineer. You can also choose to become a global engineer. The positions, the titles are the same. You get it? You know, somebody can be a CEO over a company that sells. Hallelujah. Toffees and whatever. Glory to God. CEO. Somebody too can be a CEO over a global company. All of them. If you don't know the companies, when you take their business cards, everybody see you. Amen. If you don't know them well, if they come to a function, you will sit them together. Until you start calling for certain monies and start talking about certain responsibilities, then some will shift. Hallelujah. Some will do what? Some will shift. Others will come to the front. So the largeness of your destiny is within your control. God is no respecter of persons. We must understand this. In creating the life you want, as part of the things you want, desire to be big, desire to be great, desire to be global. Am I talking to someone here? As part of the many things that you want, some want cars, some want houses, some want many things. Amen. As part of the many things, I'm not saying don't want the things you want, but as part of the things you want greatness. And desire to give yourself, decide to give yourself to what it takes to be great. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's look at four demands. The demand of responsibility. Four kinds of responsibility that nobody can skip. They are non-negotiable demands to building a fulfilling life. Amen. The demand of personal responsibility. the demand of personal responsibility. Like I began, I said, the extent of your destiny is within your own remit. You decide how far you're going to go. You decide how big you are going to become. Glory to God. You can decide to sleep all your life into penury. It is your decision. Amen. But if there is any want of prosperity ever hidden in your heart, you can't go a certain path. You cannot. Amen. Like they say, you can't eat your cake. No, it's not good. You can't eat your cake and have it. Hallelujah. You can decide to be great. Tell somebody you can decide to be great. You know, the matrix of destiny fulfillment is two parts. There is the divine input and there is the human input. There is the part that God does and there is the part that you do for yourself. The divine input has to do with the predestination and the predeterminations of God. So he makes all things available. All good things. Hallelujah. Are we together here? He has given you all things that pertains to life and to godliness. He has given you. He has given you precious promises by which you will obtain to his image. God is the one that determines the overall, you know, inputs of the supernatural into your life. He gives you his presence. He gives you wisdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Every good and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. That is his input. Are we together? Hallelujah. He is the one that is the architect of time. He is the one that is the producer of opportunities. Says the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. He says that time and chance happens to every one of them. That is divine input. God gives everybody equal opportunities in a lifetime to become whatever they can become without defrauding anybody of any opportunity. He gives to all men severally as he will. That is the divine input. But there is a human input, a personal input that determines what a person makes of what God makes gives to them, what God makes available to them. There is a personal input that determines what a man is able to make of the opportunities that God gives to them. There is a personal input that determines what a person is able to make out of the life God gives to them. There is a personal input that determines what a person is able to make out of the wisdom, the favor that God gives to them. God can give you favor, but then you can have a bad attitude towards people and it will negate the favor. Do you think it's possible? Hallelujah. Yeah, God can give you favor, powerful favor. Hallelujah. A man's gift makes room for him. God can give you favor. Yet, somebody say yet. Yes. The way you talk can put you in the opposite, side of things. When people are supposed to support you, they rather disdain, they rather despise your presence because of the way you talk. You know, there are some people, sometimes they will tell them, don't bring this person. This person, when he comes, he will spoil everything. Hallelujah. You have the responsibility of your own inputs in creating the kind of destiny that God has ordained for you. So, let me write it here. So, destiny is divine input, right? Plus human input. And this human input is the place of personal responsibility. In a place of what? Nobody will do it for you.
Nobody, let me tell you. Listen, nobody owes you personal responsibility. Everybody is personally responsible for their own life. There is a generation that is so entitled to the help of everybody except they helping themselves. Do not become part of them. Hallelujah. You know, there are people who can get angry for someone not helping them. But that help, they will not give it to themselves. Hallelujah. Are we together here? No, that is all. Somebody can need an urgent 200 cedis and get angry at the person who couldn't give him that 200 cedis. You should first of all get angry at yourself that you couldn't provide 200 cedis for yourself, your own self. You that you love yourself like that. You couldn't prove your own love for your own self. You know, yes, help is good. But you must understand, in creating the life you want, you owe it first to yourself to help yourself. Am I talking to somebody here? You owe it first to yourself to help yourself. Personal responsibility can never be delegated. Personal responsibility cannot be, cannot be given to a corporate system where everybody does some. It is you that must do all. It is you that must what? Do all. It is your personal responsibility to know enough to pass an exam. In the process, teachers will come in, you know, tutorials. Somebody will do tutorials with when you go to school. Somebody can, people even go for private classes. But at the end of the day, it is your own brain that must know the thing. Three brains can't answer one question on one paper with one person's name. Even if you are doing tolis, you will still have to write it to your own self. You know, some people can, that's why you can even give them answers in exams, and they will still manage to write it differently. You know, so that you will even show your paper to somebody that, look, just look and write, but write it differently so that it doesn't look like we did copy work. In an attempt to write it differently, they write it wrongly. Ha! Spell it for me. After we have told you the answer. Hallelujah. Yeah. No, you must understand this. Life is your own responsibility. God helps everybody. Am I talking to somebody here? God helps everybody. But you must understand that the human input to destiny is your personal responsibility. You can't delegate it. Nobody can love you enough to eat for you. Amen. Now imagine, my stomach, I'm sick. And I'm also hungry. Can you eat for me? So, let's say, Lady Ivy is sick. So, don't worry. What will you eat? This, I want chips and chicken. Then you go and buy the chips and eat it. Whilst I eat, are you feeling it? Hallelujah. Nobody can love you enough to eat for you. There are certain things you must do them for yourself by yourself. When you are sick, we can help you to go to the hospital. We can, in fact, we can even carry you. Amen. You know, I think sometime Lady Beauty's her leg was not allowing her to walk properly. And the husband wanted to carry her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, carry. Glory to God. So we can carry you to the hospital, but when it is time for pannier, you know pannier, I will say, the way you are looking miserable, you let me take the medicine for you. No, you will take your own medicine, whether it is bitter, it is sweet, you will take it yourself. You will be crying, but you will take it. We can carry you to the hospital, but when it comes to the medicine, we will have to encourage you. Even when you are crying, don't worry, you take it. It shall be well. No matter what, nobody can love you enough to do certain things for you. Have it in your mind, settle it in your heart, that I am personally responsible for the outcome of my destiny. Say it together with me. I am personally responsible for the outcome of my destiny. Hallelujah. Four kinds of personal responsibility. Everybody, please understand this. These things we don't delegate. Anybody can help you, but eventually you have to do it yourself. Eventually you have to take that personal responsibility. If you want to make something out of this life, Christians are fond of blaming everybody, the devil, some pastor, their parents, their father's house, their mother's house. They won't blame themselves. They are the last to be blamed. Amen. This is Wisdom School of Life. This place, this kind of service, we do consultation, you know, destiny consultation. We give you drug. Vitamin W. You know vitamin W? That's wisdom vitamin. Hallelujah. The first responsibility, let me bring it here so that I can divide it well. Four. The first responsibility is spiritual responsibility. Spiritual, somebody says spiritual responsibility. Yeah. You owe it to yourself to be spiritually responsible. It is your own personal input into your destiny. The first spiritual responsibility everybody must have is the responsibility of personal and corporate prayer. The responsibility of personal and corporate prayer. The responsibility of personal and what? And corporate prayer. There are some people, everything about their life, they want somebody else to pray for them. Hallelujah. It is good. But you are the first to pray for yourself. Hallelujah. You are the what? You are the first to pray for yourself. You don't need to be so proficient in prayer to say you want to pray. Prayer should be unto you like breath. Even if it is just 2 minutes every day, stay with it. It is your lifeline. It is your what? It is your lifeline. It is your only chance to connect with the divine. It is your first resort to solving any problem and to facing any challenge in your life. Some of us, our first resort to any problem is, who do I call? Who do I call? I was telling one of my sons, he told me something about last year. So I was just following up. That thing is too long. About 1 year, one decision. I called him. He was giving me plenty of excuses, everything. You know, it's difficult to advise people who learn, who are knowledgeable. Because they know everything. They know all the answers. He was talking plenty. I just kept quiet. Listen. And me too, I had time. I took pen and I didn't want to forget what he was writing. So anything he mentioned, I'll write. When he finished, I told him, so you said this, and you said that, and you said, all of them are logical. And it is the reason why you are confused. Because you have too many logical, applicable options. The only way you can have a choice out of these logical options is to know the future, which cannot be logical. It can only be revealed. Told him, you have done all the thinking. Subject your mind to prayer. Subject your mind to what? To prayer. Allow God to come into the equation. Sometimes we have this tendency to think that certain things are normal. It's even difficult for us to pray about. You know, sometimes some of us, when we were going to the Sunday school, they used to indoctrinate us a bit. That you don't have to pray about wants. You have to pray about needs. God is interested in everything. This man says, even the hair on your head, he has been able to count it. He keeps record of it. Do you think I need a shoe and I can't pray about it? Hallelujah. You can pray about anything and everything. Hallelujah. You want to get a one day to come. You look at yourself in the mirror as a lady God. In Jesus' name, the God of fat burning. Burn every fat in my body. No, you think it is. You think it is, oh, this prayer there. Why should I pray about? You don't have money to buy fat burning medicine. You don't have the money. All you have is prayer. That one too, you won't pray. Amen. You must build that mentality that God is interested in your life. He's interested in every detail of your life. Glory to God. Sometimes you are working. They've given you an assignment. They've given you something from the workplace. You are confused. You are doing everything. The thing is not working. You are doing an Excel sheet. The number is not balancing. You don't even know what formula to use. People will go to Google, go everywhere. They will do everything except pray. As if the wisdom to detect the problem is everywhere apart from God. We must build it. It is a lifestyle. Are we together here? You are responsible for your spiritual well-being. And your first spiritual responsibility is prayer. Your second spiritual responsibility is fellowship. It's fellowship. It's what? Fellowship. Amen. Do you want scriptures? So prayer, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. That is the simplest verse on prayer. Pray without ceasing. I mean, you can define ceasing for yourself. Hallelujah. Pray without what? Ceasing. Whether you want to do, whether you think ceasing means 1 hour every day till you die, is ceasing. However ceasing you, however you define ceasing, make sure it's consistent, because ceasing cannot be defined in any way outside of consistency. Are you with me here? Whether you want to pray 8 hours a day, nobody cares. You can do 8, you can do 10, you can do 20. But if it is season, it must be consistent. Are we together here? If it is without season, it must be consistent. Fellowship. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews that we should not despise. We should not forsake, Hebrews 10:25. We should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. If there is anything you must ensure never to miss, it is fellowship. It is what? Fellowship. Every place we belong demands our presence when there is a gathering. Family demands your presence. Amen. You know, sometimes some people, men, we suffer. Some men can work all their lives, do everything nice for the family without being present. And when they grow, everybody will forget about all the money they brought and then accuse them that they were absent. Is that not so? Presence is key. It's mandatory. If you think you belong anywhere, presence is mandatory. It is how life is done. It is how life is what? It's done. You don't negotiate it. Try being alone and see how the devil will thrive in dealing with your life. Glory to God. Fellowship is a personal responsibility. Number 3 is word study. Word study. You have a personal responsibility to know God. You have a personal responsibility to study and understand God. Hallelujah. God gives us pastors who feed us with wisdom. Are we together here? But you see, the only thing a pastor does is to prepare the meal. Give us this day our daily bread. The only thing the man of God does is to prepare the meal of the word. But the one that must eat the word, process the word, absorb the word, and express the word is you. Are we together here? Hallelujah. When in the parable of the sower, when the sower was spreading the seed, at the end of the day, the conversation shifted from number one, the sower, shifted from the seed and focused on the soil. It was later not about the sower. The sower, we can choose to blame the sower in placing seed in the midst of thorns. Are we together here? No. But the emphasis was on the kind of soil. It is your personal responsibility. You cannot dwell in ignorance and do life. Hallelujah. You must have God's perspective over everything that pertains to your life. God's perspective over family. God's perspective over finances. God's perspective over security. God's perspective over what again? Give me something. Anything about your life that I've not mentioned. I've mentioned everything. Is that so? I've not mentioned entertainment. Also, you don't like entertainment. Amen. You should have God's perspective over entertainment. Have the word in you. It is your responsibility. What you don't know, you can't blame anybody for it. In fact, most likely, what you think you don't know, you have been taught before. You have forgotten. If you like, we can do test here right now. So it's not about who didn't teach you or who taught you. It's about you making a decision to receive and to dwell on the word until it becomes a part of you. Finally, we have a spiritual responsibility of stewardship to God. The Bible says, thou shalt serve the Lord your God. God was speaking to everybody in the Israelite camp. He wasn't speaking to the priest alone. He was speaking to everybody. Thou shalt serve the Lord your God, and I will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sicknesses from among you. Thou shalt serve the Lord. Service to God is a spiritual responsibility. You cannot be in church, and that is the best place to serve God. Some of you, if we are to give you room to choose how you will serve God alone outside of church, you will do nothing. In fact, you don't even know what to do. Amen. You don't even know what to do because you just wake up, go to work, come home, sleep, eat. That's not service to God. Practical service to God is within the confines of his church. You can't be in church and be doing nothing. That is a life facing the direction of destruction. I can promise you that. See, all of us will be here for quite a long time. Nobody is dying anytime soon. But the sad reality is that as we grow, some of us will remain the same in terms of the quality of their life. And it's not because they don't pray. It is not because pastor is not good. It is not because nobody is helping them. It is because their service to God does not position them for certain divine inputs in their lives. Some can be in church and do nothing. Nobody even knows them. And yet they can find a way to be angry when nobody remembers their birthday. It's sometimes I try to reason through some things and I wonder. Somebody that we all know, we only see you Sunday. And then we forget your birthday. But do you think you are the most important human being in the earth? Be active. Be seen around. Tell somebody, be seen around. Yes. We have to be seeing you around. We are doing some carpentry work. You are there. We are doing cleanup. You are there. We are doing soul winning. You are there. Hallelujah. That is active service to God. It's a spiritual responsibility. It's a what? Spiritual responsibility. You owe it to yourself in trying to build your life and to make your life what it's supposed to be. Am I talking to somebody here? The second responsibility is moral responsibility. Moral responsibility. Somebody say moral responsibility. You see, this is beyond sin. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us. Hallelujah. For we are the righteousness of God. Because Jesus became a sin for us, that we will become the righteousness of God. So this is not a sin problem. This is a soul problem. This is a moral problem. Moral responsibility, first of all, demands integrity from every one of us. Someone say integrity. It is a demand for life. If you want life to work out well, you must meet the demand of moral integrity, moral responsibility, sorry, which is evidenced in integrity. There are some of us, nobody can trust us. Yes, that nobody will tell you. Amen. Nobody will tell you. Integrity. Integrity. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Moral responsibility. Your first moral responsibility is integrity. No stealing. Hallelujah. No adding of zeros. No massaging of figures. Amen. Integrity. Can you be trusted? Life is like a game. You think you are doing, oh, this one, Charlie. This one is a good deal. It's a good deal. It's a good deal. See, you can never steal your way into prosperity. Am I talking to somebody? Eh? Yeah. No stealing. No corruption. Amen. No cheating. Don't cheat another person. Don't defraud people. Number two, timeliness. Timeliness is a moral responsibility. You owe it to yourself to be on time, to respect time, and you owe it to people you do things with. Because sometimes to have somebody or some people wait on you is disrespectful. It is immoral. Is what? Yeah, it's immoral. Glory to God. The next kind of responsibility you owe to yourself, okay, is ethical responsibility. Tell me, is what? Ethical responsibility. Ethical responsibility. Ethics. Ethics are principles that govern the way we do things. The principles that govern the way you want to live life by design. I told you last week, living life by design basically means to customize your life. To do what? To customize your life in a way that it brings the best out of you. In a way that it makes you the best among the people. In a way that it enhances your potential. Ethical responsibility. The first ethical responsibility is faithfulness. You know, these are non-negotiable. It's not like do it or don't do it. It's not like do it if you can. You have to be faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that the man be found what? It is required. It is a requirement. If something is entrusted to you, first of which is your own life, it is required of you to be faithful. Faithful. Somebody say faithful. To be faithful with opportunities. Faithful with other people's things. Faithful with time. Faithful with every resource. Faithful. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Faithful. Very important. Faithful. Amen. The next one is commitment. Ethical responsibility, commitment. There are many ethical principles based on where you find yourself, but these two are non-negotiable. Faithfulness, commitment. You can't toy with your life. You see, you must be serious with life. Let people ask you, hey, as for you, you're always serious, serious face. It is better to be seriously faced than to be laughing every day and go to bed hungry. Serious with life. Hallelujah. You get the least opportunity, the following morning you are the first to appear. That is somebody who is embarking on a journey. Opportunities will keep finding such a person. Hallelujah. Commitment. Rugged commitment. That cannot be negotiated. That should be the hallmark of anyone that wants to live life by design. Life by what? There are some people, they can't promise. They are afraid to promise. They say, oh, me, I don't like to promise because I don't want to fail. That is a person who has no commitment, who has no integrity. If you know it in yourself that you can meet, you are willing to meet up every demand. You are not afraid to say, I will be there 11 o'clock. You know, somebody will say, I'll be there 11, 11.30, 12, 12.30. Say, oh, you, between 11 and then 1 there, I'll be there. What is between 11 and 1? Are you wind? The wind bloweth where it listed. Thou knowest not where it's coming from and whither it goeth. Hallelujah. If it is something you must build inside of you. Glory to God. It's something you must do. What? You must build inside of you. The final personal responsibility is labor responsibility. Labor. Work. Work. Hallelujah. Work. Labor. Somebody say labor. You want to live life by design. Four key responsibilities. You can't negotiate. You can't decide whether you like it or not. You must work. Anybody that will matter in this life is a hard worker. Is that what? Is a hard worker. Now, listen. Some of you must decide that for what you want to become, 8 hours of work has ended with you. You must invest at least 10 hours every day into your craft. You have ended that 8 hour thing. You must break it off your life. You must do it. Some of you, I know you don't have capacity. Because when we do evening service and you come from work, the body is already useless. Amen. The body is broken beyond repair. Some people, your mind is gone. Your face is looking some way. Build internal capacity. Build strength in your body to be able to work. There are some of when you sleep, you are like a wood. Wood. When we try to wake you up, we can tap you. You are untappable. We push you. You are unpushable. Some of you can even lift them. Lift them. Put them back on the bed. Then they will change. Stop. Build capacity in your body for labor. Build what? Yeah. You don't stop work because you are tired. You stop work because you are done. You are finished. Build capacity in your body for labor. You want to live life by design and live life to the fullest. Don't settle for incomplete labor. Don't settle for what? Incomplete labor. I'm telling you, these things, hallelujah. These are things that makes people poor generationally. With all the prayer and with all the anointing, you become anointed poor man. Laziness. Idleness. Glory to God. I'm not talking about unemployment too. Unemployment is not the problem at all. At all. Unemployment is not a problem at all. There are some people that laziness is inside their soul. I will talk about these things with time. So what is the first labor responsibility? Your first one is competence. You owe it to yourself to build competence in anything that you are doing. We've talked about competence last month. I'm going to leave it. Amen. Second one is consistency. Consistency. You remember, Isaac was digging his father's well. The enemies will come and close it. Then he will dig again. They will come and close. I said, don't worry. I know how to beat the devil. It's not prayer. It's not consistent. He kept doing it. The people kept closing it until one time the people get tired. They got tired. Some of us don't know how to stay on a course. How to do what? Stay on a course. You want to start a business? Your first uppercut in the business, boom, sir, I won't do again. I won't do what? Again, consistency. Stay on a course. Does not matter the things that come against you, you are on the matter. You are on it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stay. Keep working. Tell somebody, keep working. Keep to your task until it answers to you.
Keep doing it.
Giving up? Don't ever let it be mentioned among you that you started this, you stopped because it was difficult. Because it was what? But what is cheap? What is easy? Hallelujah. What is easy? What on earth is easy? Name one. Hallelujah. But footballer, they just kick one thing, kick, and then they have all the money. Have you seen a typical footballer's leg? You see how your leg is nice with your hair, nice, compared to a footballer's leg. Hallelujah. Are we together here? Somebody who is working, he knows that his work he is doing. Achacha by 38, he can't do the work again. After that work, he can't go and become managing director. He can't go and become somebody's accountant. He is done with life. Those are the dynamics. Nothing is easy. So stop complaining and whining. This one is too difficult. So I've been thinking about this or that thing. Some people, let me tell you, at a certain age of your life, when you pass it, you have lost every luxury of trying things. You have lost every luxury of what? Because the average number of years to become a master of a craft is 8 to 10 years. So if by 30, you are still trying to figure out what you want to do and you are still trying things, just because the first one, the first two didn't work out, you are postponing your mastery. Hallelujah. You are postponing. See, when some of us were younger, amen. It's not like I'm old, though. I'm still young, isn't it? Yeah, I'm very, very young. Hallelujah. Yeah, I don't like to mention my people. I mention my people get, hey, are you sure? So I remember around 2015, I had friends who started business, who started companies, small. It's about 10 years now. They are doing very well. Oh, yes, they are doing well. In fact, after you've tasted that freedom and you've seen potential, you don't want to go back to sitting in somebody's office again. Even if you're not making money, you prefer to have your freedom. Amen. But sometimes, you see, some of these things that some of you want to kill yourself, you realize that when you get into a certain level of life, you will be shocked that, Sana is not about money. Because you realize that even when you are doing your own business, you are earning little. For some reason, you will be satisfied. So it's not about the biggest money. But you know what? A lot of them are now coming into a level they can call themselves company. After 9 years, very few have scaled up beyond SMEs. A lot of them are still within the SME level. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. If you want to do something, it is a long journey. So you make up your mind to stay consistent. That's the secret. Hallelujah. Make up your mind to stay consistent. This thing is for life. It's for what? Yeah, it's for life. Amen. Am I talking to somebody here? Are you blessed this morning? Say, I am living my life by design. Number three is concentration. Aggregating your energy and all resources towards specific goals. Stop chasing everything. You want to live life by design. Stop chasing everything. You can't be everything. You can't be what? You can't be everything. Of course, when it comes to business investment, you can diversify your investment. But put powerful people who have authority in those areas there and have your peace of mind. Focus on the key things of your life. Are we together here? Yeah. Concentration. And finally, completion. You know why some of us, we have nothing to our name as at this time? Because we don't finish anything. we do to a while, we stop. Then we go and look for another thing, then we start, then we stop. So your life is all about, you are a starter, but you are not a completer. You start this, you stop. Start that, you stop. Start that. Decide that at least once in your life, you will start something from scratch and see it to its completion. Yeah. Amen. Are we together here? Hallelujah. Very important. I tell people sometimes when I have the opportunity to explain to people and consult with them, especially people who are willing to do something. You know, not everybody who comes to you. Some people just want to listen to you say something. Hallelujah. Yeah, maybe they woke up thinking about so many things, so they want to hear Papa's perspective. They'll come and worry me, talk. We'll meet again and everything is normal. No, I tell people that, look, if you think you will do business, you will, which I believe and I encourage everybody to do at least one business which is your own. Which is your what? Your own. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. One business at least which is your own, which is because all the blessings of God can't be channeled through people to you. You can't live all your life and God has to use people to always reach you. You should be able to build certain things by and for yourself that gives God direct access to you. Yeah, everybody should be able to. So I tell people that, look, it takes time to really build something and then have it going. So whilst you are growing, have something you can grow it. It doesn't matter how small. Have something you can grow it. By the time, right now you are 25, 26, 27, 30. Have something you can grow it. Because the thing will take time to grow. So if you want something that will grow overnight, boom! Please, you will be surprised. You will think God is not with you. God is ever with you, I'm telling you. He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. God is always with you. But it is just the nature of things. So it's better to have something you can grow with. Something that you will not be in a hurry to see them grow. You are just comfortably growing with them. So imagine if any good business will take about 8 years to really stand on its feet and you are 28. By the time you are 36, that business will now become what you actually want it to become. Whilst probably you are working by the side. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Completion is what makes the difference between people who start the same thing and over a period, some drop. Are we together? Some people say, oh, this business, there is no money inside, then they will stop. After 2, 3, 4 years, somebody did the same business and the person is building a house. As soon as you see somebody do that same business and build a house, you lose your right to say there's no money in that business because there is an evidence that what you are saying is a lie. Hallelujah. Have a completion mindset that everything you touch, you are going to see it to the very end. You are going to see it to the what? To the very end. Hallelujah. Let's talk about something quickly, then we will close. Amen. All right. I talked about how far you can stretch your life to. How far you can go. God does not place any limit on anybody. There is no limit on you. You can look up. Just look up. There is no limit. God has not put any limit on you. You can be anywhere. You can be anything. Hallelujah. You can have a global company right from the corner of your own room. How many of us know that? It was not possible some years back, but now it is possible. But some people will never take advantage of that. Yet they will be praying, God, take me to the nations. The door of the nations opened long ago. Hallelujah. How many of us know that there are certain states in the U.S. that allows you to open company without actually going in there? How many of us know that? Very few of us. So very few of us want to be global. Amen. Hallelujah. It's very powerful. You can be global, but you see, something wages war in our minds to make us settle for little And it is what I call the spirit of average. I've thought about this here and I'm going to talk about it quickly. The spirit of average. The spirit of average. How can we overcome the spirit of average? You know, the spirit of average is the spirit that works in people to make them settle for the least of every possibility. The spirit of average is that which works in people to make them settle for the least of every possibility. Even though the highest is available to them, they themselves will settle for the least. You know, there are people like that. If you put money here, 200, 100, 50, 20, 10, what's the last one? 5. Yeah, we put all of them there. So take which one you want. They feel like they are humble. So they will take maybe 10. Maybe some of them want to be in the middle. They don't want to be seen as greedy. They also don't want to be seen as maybe foolish. So they will take 50. Hallelujah. It is the spirit of average. Anything that makes you settle for the average or settle for the least of options when the best is still available to you, there is something working in you that is pushing you towards average, pushing you towards being little, pushing you towards being inferior. Glory to God. Yeah. You remember in the Bible, in Numbers 13, verse 33, when the 12 spies went to spy the land of flowing with milk and honey, they came back with all the nice things they see. They said, Jack, the place there is nice, but we saw giants. And when we saw the giants, we were like grasshoppers. Nobody told them they were grasshoppers. They themselves saw the giants. They sized the giants and they looked at themselves and said, no, we can't do this one. Let's sit in our corner here. We'll be very fine. Hallelujah. The spirit of average makes you non-confrontational in life. You may think that is a peaceful life. It's a lie. You are settling for little. Hallelujah. If you want to make the most out of life, you must be confrontational. You must be what? Look, this one is a glory life admonition. Every glory lifer must be wild in the marketplace. Be what? Be wild. Don't respect anybody. Amen. I'm not saying don't respect like don't respect, but don't respect anybody to your disadvantage. Ask for what you have to ask. Demand what you deserve. Glory to God. Those are, you know, I mean, these people, that's how they are. It's okay. You ignore. Don't worry. God is the maker of men. Please. God says, I should tell you, he will make you when you walk away from what you deserve. You decide not to fight for what you deserve. It is an average mentality that makes you run away from confrontation. Life responds to those who are confrontational. They won't pay you your due. And then you are quiet. Oh, don't worry. These people, that's how they are. Don't worry. We will all rise up. Our time will come. Your time won't come. Get up. Go to that office. Sit that boss down and demand. Hallelujah. Is that one too difficult to do? Is it? Amen. Hallelujah. No. We have workers union. By any time you go for a meeting, they are not able to talk. Go and see the workers union president. Look, I want you to step down. I want to do this work. You seem to be failing in this simple objective. I want you to step down. I can finish this job and I'll hand it over to you. Hallelujah. You must never settle for average. Glory to God. Never settle for average. It is a subtle way to be defrauded of greatness in destiny. Have
Haven't you realized that even in school or some normally in normal, you know, gatherings, loud talkers, confrontational, violent, they always get what they want. Even when you cry, you have the chance to be sharing food because you don't want trouble. Those who say, hey, 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 you will give it to them first. As if they are special human beings. Hallelujah. As if God created them on the second day. Never. If you want to settle for average, there are 7 things that causes people to settle for average. Let's quickly work our way through that. The average mentality. Number one, I'm just going to mention them. The first thing that makes people average is ignorance. Ignorance. When you don't know, you will settle for what is available. Glory to God. Ignorance has made people settle for half the package when there was a full package available to them. Ignorance. Because they didn't know. There are 3 kinds of ignorance. The ignorance that come by no knowledge. 2, the ignorance that comes by insufficient knowledge. And the ignorance that comes by wrong knowledge. Wrong knowledge. So either you have no knowledge, or you have insufficient knowledge, or you have wrong, inaccurate knowledge. And we must be able to combat every kind of ignorance. No knowledge. Huh. That is disastrous. Insufficient knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of. So that means the knowledge is there, but it is lacking. Lack of knowledge. Wrong knowledge. They know, but what they know is wrong. Hallelujah. You know, one of the people you find difficult to discuss advice is people with wrong knowledge. They feel they know, but what they know is wrong. Hallelujah. How do you cure knowledge? By learning. And by revelation. Learning takes care of the ignorance of the mind. Revelation takes care of the ignorance of the heart. Praise God. In 2 Corinthians 4, it says that even up unto this day, when the law is read, there is a veil cast on their hearts. You need knowledge. You need revelation. Knowledge that comes by reading, studying, learning, whatever field you find yourself in. Don't be a novice. Don't be a novice. Don't be a what? Novice. Don't be a novice. Glory to God. Don't be a novice in any field that you find yourself in. Don't say, this is not my field. You know, this is not where my heart is. But that is where you are working. That is where you are spending your day. Glory to God. Pay the price. Learn. Read. Are we together here? Hallelujah. Learn. Read. So, it's just a position I came and I got. So I'm into sales. I don't know how to say. Anytime I go to, I just roam. Sit down. Learn sales. Steady. Look for books. Read. Go to YouTube. There are videos. Listen. Some people are lazy. They can't read. You know, reading is difficult. So they would rather go and listen to videos. Whichever way, listen and learn. Go for revelation. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the word being taught. Hallelujah. Ignorance makes average. Number 2 thing that makes average, I've mentioned it, so I'll just go. Lateness. Lateness is a way people settle for average. Lateness. You see, there is a way. Next month we are going to talk about grooming in every dimension possible. There is a way when people come into a place early, they are presumed to be bigger and greater and smarter. More responsible. By the time everybody comes and big people are looking for who to entrust things to. Their first impression, their first thinking or estimation goes to those they saw earlier. It is lateness makes you can be the most gifted in the room, but the moment you show up late, you are already written off. Some of us, we won't get this until it costs us. But it is sad enough, the world doesn't give you feedback on why certain things happen to you. Some of us have been rejected. We've gone to so many interviews, no favorable feedback, but nobody told you why they didn't call you back. If only they had told you. If only they had told you. If only an HR had called you and talked about how your CV was scanty. You know, some people can write CV here. One part, the font is maybe Times New Roman. Another part is Calibri. It's like copy and paste. And they forgot to format the entire document. I'm like, hey, why? Are you not thinking? Glory to God. You are a Christian. Hey, man. You've been bought by the blood. You've been redeemed from sin. It's sinners who do that. Oh. Hallelujah. Don't make people laugh at Christianity. Christianity makes us better. It makes us what? It makes us better. Glory to God. Look at the kind of people who wrote the Bible. Look at the consistency. Look at the grammatical superiority. Have you ever read Bible and then you have had a need to correct it before? But you will read your own document. True. Even Microsoft Word is already giving red, underline and red. When we open your document, plenty red, few blue. Tell somebody you are a Christian. Act like one. Yeah. You can't be a Christian and be born. You know, born. Amen. But who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Lateness. I won't say more. Number three. Postponement. Ah, this thing. Like Jesus asks. Anyone who is not guilty of this, raise your hand. Postponement. Failure to execute due to inability to connect with the seasons of your life. You don't know when to do what. Jesus says something. John chapter 9, verse 4. This is Jesus. He says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can wait. Jesus had this consciousness. He wouldn't postpone anything. What must be done, must be done. At the point, he said, he must need go through Samaria. And as he was going through Samaria, he was hungry. How many of us know the story? They got to Samaria. He was hungry. The disciples had to go out and look for food. But he will not put anything on hold. That's all about, hey. When we feel crow, you know, crow. The calling of the depth, deep calling unto deep. when we hear crow, everything must be put on hold. Tell the Papa, you, I will continue. Let me first of all. Jesus was hungry. At the time, the Bible said he needed to go through Samaria. He was hungry. Yet, it will not discourage him. It will not stop him from executing his mandate. It will not stop him from performing his task. He still went ahead to make history. Glory to God. Postponement. Number four is minimalism. This thing is a destroyer. This thing makes people average. This thing reduces people to nothing. It is a trap. Never settle for minimum. It is the bane of cheapness. A lot of us, what motivates us in purchasing things? Is price, not value. You will settle for the cheapest of everything. Amen. Cheapest of what? Everything. Glory to God. Cheapest of everything. Not necessarily for the price, but for the value it brings. For the what?
value it brings. I learned, I settled on that very early in life. Nobody taught me. I just realized it one day. Can you believe, man of God? I was telling somebody that, for example, when I was young, we didn't have money. But for some reason, I was influenced by some powerful people who would just not allow me to buy anything when I was starting life. I was influenced. You know, I said, oh, you know, when you are starting life, you have options. So you want to buy this, you want to buy TV, you want to buy those of you who used to have ghetto blaster. Ghetto blaster. Now we don't have ghettos anymore. Have you seen some before? Ghetto blaster. The way you are looking at my face, you don't know ghetto blaster. Ah! You see? So we had a list. No, young guy, you want to start your life. So you want to buy this, you want to buy that, you want to buy that. And then one old friend told me that don't buy anything cheap. You are starting your life. Look at the way you are saving to buy only one thing. If you fail to buy a good thing, to replace it at this time of your life, it is almost impossible. And it was true. We are talking about when we had to buy TV with 3 months salary. Right? And you, it you know, one small doomso and then 3 lines. Shoo, shoo. And you know what? That is, because you can't replace it at that level, that is why you will have to resort to repeated repair. And repairers will make a fortune out of you. Repairers. They know you will come back. They know. They know. They know. But they will encourage you. Oh, wait. SABM. This one. Ah. It's done. Done and dusted. 3 days you are going back. Are they away? And I say, oh, sir. And they will always find a way to blame you. Oh, maybe I will electricity, no? And yeah, papa. Electricity, you are plugging your maybe weapon, I say. Hallelujah. And when I was, so this old man was like, no, don't buy this, buy that. Ha, can you believe? It's been about 12 years. The fridge I bought for the first time in my life is what I'm still using now in my house. The washing machine I bought for the first time before I married is the one we are still using. TV would have been there. Me, my TV was a very, it was a communal TV. You know those days, I used to carry my TV. You were there. I used to carry my TV to my former church every Sunday morning for projection. Every Sunday, it was a TV we were carrying everywhere. It was still robust. I used it for about 7 solid years before thieves came to steal. I'm sure the TV is still using it by now. Amen. Everything. Our microwave was used. We used it from Takadia till we came here. I think, I don't know, 2 or 3 years before it got enemy. I didn't want to. I just want to buy a new one. You see, minimalism. Some people, if they go to shop, they are not checking the use and the value of the thing. They are checking price. This one is 11.48, 7.48. Before you realize, they have bought 7.482. And that is about 15 cities. They settle for the cheapest. Some people are even cheap in themselves. Cheap. Let me not talk about this one plenty. Let's go to the next one. Lack of motivation. Before I offend people. Hallelujah. I hope I didn't offend anybody. You are calling for it. Amen. Yeah. You know some of us will buy fools. You know fools. Maybe for the purpose of recording, thrift. Yeah, because some white people don't know fools. Thrift. And within 1 year, you buy about 10 times. No, somebody has bought. I still have some suits from 2015, 2016. I was telling somebody that I don't know anybody here who is my size. So sometimes all my dress, I'll just pack them. Sometimes I even go and burn some of them because I don't want to go and throw them away. And then. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe some wizard will be passing by the ball and say, nice dress. Before you have maybe one suit that you have got to show away, you will see a madman in a shaman wearing your suit. So let me rather burn it. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, don't be cheap. We are not saying buy the costly items. That's not what you're saying. But we are saying that pay attention to value. the value the item is bringing to you. It's not just items alone, but every choice of life, go for value, not just price. Go for what? Value. Go for value. I was telling you that there are certain dresses, it is not that, you know, it's costly. It's the fact that when you wear it, it can give you the best seat in a place without begging for it. When you enter, the protocol, they are smart. They will see the dress. They know, you, this dress, we don't use to sit on the bench. You have to come to the leather. Yeah. Hallelujah. There are certain shoes, we use it to enter places. It's not for the comfort of your feet. You understand the point? Yeah. Value. Look for the value. The value. The value. Sometimes people go and do courses. It is not course they want to do. It is people they want to meet. Hallelujah. That never be minimal. Glory to God. Sometimes one course, one school is offering it for 800 cedis. Everybody can go some. The same course, another school is offering it for 6,000 cedis. You go for the 6,000 one, not because you have all the money in the world, but the 6,000 one, you will meet CEOs. CEOs will not go to 800 Ghana school. They want a place of AC, a place where, you know, they will bring them lunch and everything. Go for that. It's not because you have money to waste. It's because you want to. That CEO somebody has booked for meeting 3 weeks. You are sitting in class 3 hours with him. And you probably even be smarter than him and offer to do his assignment for him. Then he will call you with his personal number in the evening to ask, Charlie, have you been able to finish the assignment? You have his personal number. Everybody has PA's number. Life by design. Life by what? Design. Lack of motivation makes people settle for little. You know, they get tired so quickly. So it's okay. What is left? Let's do. Hallelujah. Say, I will not lose my motivation. Tell somebody, don't lose your motivation. Lack of initiative. That's the last but one. Some people settle for anything. They settle for the least because they don't know what other alternatives to go for. They can't initiate anything. They don't know what to do. They are bereaved of ideas. Why? I don't know what to do. So I'm okay with this one. Please, don't let it be your life. Hallelujah. God has invested so much in you to settle for just anything. Glory to God. And then this last one, I don't like this at all. Ungodly contentment. Ungodly contentment. Anything satisfies them. Anything what? Satisfy. If you give them little, they are fine. If you give them plenty, they are fine. Come on. Don't you have level? Don't you have standard? Decide that certain things will satisfy you, will not satisfy you. It is not because of anything. It is because you understand that you deserve more and you are worthy of more. Go for it. We are not saying steal, but when it is available, why settle for the least of it? Amen. Like I tell some of you, you go to some place, they appoint you assistant secretary. So, what have you done wrong that they can't give you main secretary? Ask the person, what is my problem? What real problem do you have with me that you won't make me assistant when the main is there? Yeah. If it is not there, it's not there. If it is there, why settle? Why don't you attempt a greater one? Why don't you attempt for more? Hallelujah. Are you with me? Good. You go somewhere and somebody can whisper to you, oh, this thing, the last time somebody did it for us, the person charged 20,000. So you when you go, charge 20,000. If you go, okay, I'll take 20,000. So okay, they sign. At least try 35. Amen. Try what? 35. No, 35 is too much. We can't do. Oh, okay. So what can you do? So we'll do 70. So, 17th. Okay. Because I really want to do the best work for you. Let's do 25. I know it will be difficult for me, but I'm willing to let go of my profit. Keep pushing. The money is there. Just keep pushing. Just keep. Nobody is saying, just be sensitive. Know when you are overstepping the boundary. You must use your mind. Keep pushing small. You will be surprised. So, okay. 25. You give it to you. 25. When you go out and the person say, oh, did they take the 20? Oh, yeah, they took the 20. Of course, it's not a lie, right? They took the 20, just that there is more. Hallelujah. Never settle for average. Tell somebody, never settle for average. You are too decorated to be average. You are too decorated with grace to be inferior. Hallelujah. We are, see, you can, wherever you are at this point in your life, you can look great. Greatness is not about being in a convoy. You can be in that one single room. Amen. Yeah, with only bed and chair and still be great. Greatness is first of all a person before what they look like. Are you with me here? You will make it in Jesus' name. You want to jump onto your feet? Hallelujah. Lift your voice and speak in the spirit. Bless the Lord. Rose vada bakada yatish. Come on, lift your voice. I want to hear you praying. Mano bredis tia.